All the years in my own pursuit of the Lord, whether it is in truth, in life, or in the matter of service, in the work of the church, that is always the case. The one-third time, either from my reading or sitting, listening to some words or messages, typically, of course, from our Brother Witness Lee, either in a private setting or in a large, big training setting, whatever that may be, about one-third. Of course, that one-third is a very important one-third in that it gives the light, it gives the revelation, it plants a seed, so to speak, in me. But if there were no follow through to that, and I do have also the experience that I did not follow through, meaning I went to the meeting, I went to the training, I really got a lot out of it, but that was it. And it just remained in my notebook and in my notes in my margin, and I go home and did not follow through, then that one-third will just remain at one-third. And that's all I got. But if I go back, both immediately and then actually for the long term, to review what was put into me, then I would say I would get more than one-third, sometimes two-thirds, sometimes even more than that. It depends. So I think, brothers, that the follow-through is the most important. Now, I swim for fitness, and everyone who knows swimming a little bit knows that the follow-through is absolutely critical. You know, let's say you swim, right? You do your freestyle, you go like this, right? And you pull, right? You pull. This is called a pull. You pull. And most people, they just kind of do this and then kind of like it. Actually, what you should do is you stretch, you pull, and you pull all the way to your thighs and out. So if you watch the good swimmers or the professional swimmers, they have a reach, and then they have a strong, of course, they have big arms and hands. But in any event, they pull. This pull under the water is the hardest because of the resistance. But it is that pull. The stronger that pull, the quicker the swimmer is. And those who are the best swimmers are the ones with this follow-through, you know? Follow-through. Your hand should actually be by your thigh, coming out like this, and then you go again, right? So you think about it, brothers. There's a lot of things we do, initially with a good start, and maybe a little bit of exercise there, but know that push or that follow-through. And so your speed is limited, right? Is limited without and that's the part that requires the most strength, by the way, because you know in this cycle, this is the part that needs the most work, and yet that's the part that when you're kind of a little bit tired, right? So that push is important. And there's no substitute to this, brothers. I like to suggest to you, in your personal pursuit and in our corporate pursuit of anything, including a training like this, bear in mind the follow-through. The two-thirds are in the follow-through, all right? This part is sort of the easy part, right? This part is the easy part. This part and this part is the what determines how fast you go. So In this training like this, I like the brother from Fremont, I look for change. If there's no change, then it's like, what are we doing here? Now, I'm not talking about change in the way of some performance, change just to have some outward adjustment. Of course, I don't mean that. I mean change that emanates from an inward dealing, an inward exercise, both individually and collectively. And over time, not overnight, but over time, that kind of a follow-through, that kind of exercise, that kind of repeated dealing. You know, swimming is very, very monotonous, very monotonous thing. I mean, if I am not for just staying fit, I won't do that. It's very monotonous. It's the same thing to keep doing on this over this line. And but you know you need to do it because you need to exercise and be healthy and all of that. And so, brothers, it's a bit monotonous. It's a bit monotonous. But brothers, we're here to what? We're here to become the good swimmers. Am I right? We're here to become the good, useful members or brothers for the sake of the church, for the Lord's testimony. And we cannot take the easy way, you know? We cannot take the easy way. Just because we're smart, just because we get the points quite easily, does not translate into a kind of what? A long-term building up of a new habit, of a new constitution in you to make you different, all right? And so to do this, you need a level of seriousness and dedication. And I'm concerned that, as always, with doing anything, that there is not that kind of dedication, that kind of a commitment, so that you seriously would do the exercise, go home and do the exercise according to the assignment. That's what will make you fit. That's what will put away the pounds, that's what will give you the tone, the muscle, and so on. So, brothers, I can only do that much. And you have to do the rest. And as serious as you are, then you will benefit that much. I feel that brother gave a good word. Of course, he's church kid, and he was from Irvine, right? there's certainly some, you can tell he has a level of spiritual feeling there that I appreciate. And I wish that all of us would develop ourselves, right, I don't mean to become like him, but I do mean to become better and better. Our burden in this training is to raise up another generation. And by definition, a generation that is better than the past. Am I right? But how will the next generation be? How would you be? Depends on your pursuit. Depends on your attitude. If you want to be better, you'll be better. Right? If you are just satisfied to be the same as those that have gone before, then you will be that way as well. Right? So I hope, brothers, by this little fellowship, you can increase your exercise. Now, another thing, I somewhat feel that 1 year of this training is not enough. If there would be, we started out with 280 whatever brothers, I don't know, or 300 brothers. I think by now the number is 80% of that, something like that. So we still have 240, 50 on a regular basis, right? And thank the Lord for that. You know, every time I come through that door into the meeting here, I just thank the Lord that there are still some brothers with a heart for his interest that would pay the price for a training like this. But I feel since we're here and since we have given ourselves to the Lord, then we should go all the way. There's no point in just doing a half-baked job. There's no point in just halfway there. I'm not that kind of person. If I do something, I do it all the way. Because anything else is meaningless. Anything else is pointless. Why go halfway? What's the point? Right? You love the Lord, you love him all the way. You give yourself to the recovery, you go all the way. So if we're here with the burden to be trained, to be a qualified and approved overseer that care for the Lord's church and his people, then let's go all the way. Let's go all the way, all right? Let's not become a sort of half-baked and drop out someday. Let's not be like that, all right? Okay, now I would rather see if there's a smaller number that are deeply serious than a large crowd that are not serious. If you ask me, that would be my way of working. Because that small number of dedicated ones will do more than a large throng of uncommitted ones. That's the principle. That's the principle of Gideon's 300. Am I right? That is the principle of the overcomers. Of course, the best thing is all would be 100%. But anyway, in God's way of working, he usually does not get 100%. And so the principle of the overcomers, of the remnant, or of Zion in Jerusalem, became God's operational mode. And that is to gain some that would be up to his standard when all else has fallen below it. If in the Bay Area there would be such a group of serious given brothers who mean business in this or that locality, that would do a lot of work. That would do a lot of work. Even if there's half of this group, that will do a lot of work. And I follow Brother Lee in this. That's how he works. We need to take care of everyone. We need to take care of all the churches, all the saints, even to the most heartless one. We need to love and care for them. But that I'm not speaking to that right now. You understand, right? I'm speaking to training. I'm speaking to the army. I'm speaking to the service of the Lord. Someone prayed here about military service. Jacob did, because 2 weeks ago, that's what we covered. The military service in the book of Numbers in that Working Saints retreat. Well, didn't we send out some of those, the retreat messages to the brothers, right? To some brothers to listen to. And some of you were there, right? I myself got a lot of help from that retreat, even though I gave the messages. You know, when I went there, I didn't know what I was going to share. I really didn't. But the months before that, I never almost not for one day, I've not been thinking about that. I even prepare outlines, several sets of outlines. I just toss it out, toss it out, toss it out. And I felt the Lord came to us and spoke something to us from the book of Numbers. And for me, that picture in Numbers just make the whole puzzle sort of fit together. And I felt that was a very, very on-point word to these working saints, which I, according to Numbers, is 25 to 50. 25 to 50. With 25 to 30 being the interns, and then the 30 to 50 being the official serving ones. And that serving, that word serve, I told you, is in Hebrew, military service. Even the priests, the Levites, who were not numbered in the army, because they were not numbered to fight. Only the tribe, the 12 tribes were, not the Levite tribe, nor the priests. But when it comes to talking about their serving, they will serve, they will serve. It's the same word for the military service of all the tribes. This tells us the entire service of God is military in nature. It's a fight. It's a war. Right? Yesterday you heard about Paris. Am I right? 150 people just got horrifically killed. I tell you, Europe is not going to be the same. This morning, I wasn't thinking about messages so much. I was thinking about Europe. The French president declared yesterday, because this is their nighttime now, so which is when we're sleeping is the daytime, sort of, declared, he said, they consider this is an act of war, which is what we did in 9/11. All right, 2001, 9/11, the president declared it was an act of war, and we're going to prosecute that war accordingly, which is what we did. Which is what we did. Whether you agree we invade Iraq or whatever it may be, it was war. It was war. And today, let me tell you, U.S. is still at war. And we will continue to be at war as far as terrorism is concerned, the war of terror is concerned. And Europe is engulfed in it. And with all this refugee crisis in Germany, with Merkel there, Angela Merkel there, the chancellor, taking the humanitarian position to allow 800,000 already by now entering into their country, 40% of those from Syria. She is laying all her political capital online. Her own ranks, her own party are now rebelling, because they said this is going to turn Germany upside down. And now, with this, they are going to gain more fuel to argue and to rebel against that. And then you get this refugee crisis, which is intricately linked to the terrorists, because they infiltrated that, the jihadists and all the and the ISIS and all of this. And by the way, ISIS claimed that they're responsible for what happened yesterday. He said this is a piecemeal third world war right now going on. This is the president of France yesterday. Because they also send planes to bomb the ISIS, along with US and England and so on. Brothers, the world is at war. We are sitting here in sunny Bay Area, we may not feel that way. Let me tell you, the world is at war. We may be lured to feel the same way in the church life. Well, it's sunny, 70 degrees church life. Let me tell you, it's military service. Whether you're a priest, you're a Levite, maintaining the tabernacle of the testimony, this is war. This is war. And Gideon's 300. The Lord Jehovah didn't need, 35,000 and then 20,000, whatever the number is, eventually he just needs those who would drink the water in a certain way. Remember that? The test is in the drinking. Drinking means something legitimate. Everyone drinks. Your livelihood, your living. It's not, the problem is not drinking or not drinking. The problem is how to drink. How you drink determines whether you are Gideon 300 or not. And brothers, that's the point here in this training. How are you drinking? How do you drink your water? Will determine whether you are part of that 300 or not. Okay, I better get on with this, otherwise it won't be done. I have only 40 minutes to finish this. This morning, all three messages, 31 to or lessons, 31 to 33, are actually one long lesson. One long lesson, okay? So you will see this. It's all about the matter of the service of the church. Now, when I say service, don't think it's cleaning windows and vacuuming the floor. That's only a small part of it. We're talking about the complete service, which is what is portrayed in Numbers, handled by the priests and the Levites. That military service, that tabernacle service, that complete inclusive service is what we're talking about here. And the overseers, the elders' job is to what? Is to, number one, be clear about what this service is. Number two, how to bring the saints, how to activate, how to vitalize, how to mobilize all the saints in a proper way into that service. And the point is, when the saints are actively engaged in this service, that's the building up of a local church. That's the building up of a local church. So you say, what is the building up of a local church? It is the activation of every member in that church in this service of the tabernacle. When that is happening, all manners of things are there that would indicate a building up is going on. So these three lessons are incredibly important, brothers, in a practical way. How do we bring the saints into this service? Don't forget, the so-called God-ordained way, the so-called God-ordained way has an underlying spirit to it. That underlying spirit is found in Ephesians 4. And that is the gifts perfecting the saints to the work of the ministry. And these saints who have been perfected will become the many parts, the operation of each one part, right? Build unto the building up of itself in love. Do you see this? This is the undertone, the undergirding of the so-called God-ordained way, and that is every believer being activated and perfected and functioning and operating in life, of course. And when that happens, the church is being built. The local church is being built. So these three lessons are very, very important. Okay, now let's get into it. Because of time, I just highlight. Seeing the one goal with three areas of service. So first, let's take a look in Romans 1 and 2 to see this. Okay, one goal, just remember, three areas of service. These messages given in the 1950s. But in principle, it is timeless. It is timeless. It applies to us even today, many, many decades later. Number one, the administration of the elders is the overseeing, the management, the building, and the leadership of the elders. Now here, you have to get this. The point here is that the administration, this word, administration, which is in the Bible. I believe in the Bible. Am I right? Isn't that in 1 Corinthians 12? There is, God has placed some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, works of power, gifts of healing, helps, which refer to the deacons, and then administration. And so these are the administrators, all right, doing the administration. It really refers to the eldership of a church. This word administration is an inclusive term. Inclusive term. And it includes what? One, oversight. Oversight, much like a watchman, much like a shepherd, overseeing the flock of God. Number two, it includes the thought of management. Now, this is somewhat a worldly term. Let's get rid of that worldly thinking, you know, being a manager or this or that. But there is that aspect of management, of setting things in order, of what? Of somewhat making sure things are in an properly arranged and the people are in their proper place, carrying out their proper function in order to execute, am I right? A certain project or to carry out a certain enterprise in a holy sense, in a spiritual sense. There is the aspect of management. And then the administration also includes building. Building means coordination. We talk about fellowship. We talk about blending. We talk about being related together to carry out a common interest. That building work, that building is part of the administration, the work of administration. And finally, the leadership. The leadership means taking the lead. I think when we added some leading brothers to church in San Francisco, 3 months ago, I forgot, I gave a word on the leading ones. I don't know whether you remember or not. I was very, very supply myself by that. The leading ones, you know, from the book Hebrews chapter 13, a number of verses, and also in some other places. Not the word elder, but the word leading one. The leading one. The leading one. So here you do have the thought of leadership. The leadership by pattern. Am I right? And so on and so forth. Okay. A, the elders' oversight, administration, building, leadership, and management of the church all refer to the same thing. They're all part of the same one job description, if you will. B, if we think that administration only signifies the building up of the saints, we would only think in terms of the building and not realize it also includes the management of the church. The point is, we cannot just isolate these things and just think of one thing. It's all about just some kind of management, or just some kind of shepherding, or it's just building. It's related to all these things. All these things. All right? C, conversely, if we think the administration only covers the matter of management, we will not realize that it is also includes the building up of the saints. Now here, I'd like to say a point, brothers. And that is, we're all prone, it's just human nature, we're prone to become what? To be imbalanced, to stress certain one thing that usually happens to be our strength or our gift, you see? If it's left to just one of us, we will take something just altogether in one direction, you see? We need the help to see that the oversight of a local church is all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive. That's another reason why we need the plurality, right? Plurality, Thank you. Of elders, so that they all have different strengths. They all bring different strength to the table, so to speak. And there would be a kind of a balance. There would be a kind of a balance. The four living creatures, same principle. Same principle. When there's only one man and there's only one thing, I tell you, that church will go this way. That church would just automatically go this way. But still, brothers, bear in mind that the oversight or the administration of the eldership is all inclusive, including all these matters. Which means we all need to know these things, and we also need one another to carry this out in a more complete way. Brothers, this really, when we're in an elders' fellowship, there's no pecking order in the eldership. There's no top elder and junior elder. There is a difference in maturity. There is a difference in life, in constitution, and therefore in Acts 15. Oh, by the way, sorry. Last time I did not give him the lesson on the meeting. It turns out that is one huge lesson. Huge, huge, important lesson. So I just this last week made it up in a recorded myself of a one-hour lesson on meeting. You better get it and don't miss that. It is available?
It's online.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. But if you have not gotten into it, please get into it. That is very, very important. Actually, I feel one lesson is not enough. The elders' meetings. Elders' meeting. I had another Skype with all the leading brothers in the Midwest in Chicago last weekend. And I said, what should I talk about? They said, please talk about this. The elders' meeting. He said so many in the churches in our area, but the churches in our area, the elders the leading brothers, they just have no idea of the elders' meeting or the idea of the importance of the elders' meeting. And so, therefore, the church is stuck. The church cannot go on without the proper elders' meeting. So the attitude we should have, the way we should treat these meetings. Really say the elders' meeting is the watchtower of the church. He said how strong the church meetings will be depends on how strong the elders' meeting would be. And there we talk about Acts 15. Acts 15, how they made the decision after discussions, that's the word in the Bible. They discussed the matter much. And then Peter stood up. Right? And then followed by Barnabas and Paul giving their testimony. And at the end, James would give the concluding word. That's not hierarchy. That's after much, much fellowship where all the brothers, apostles, and elders gather, have a way to express their feeling in the Lord. And finally, with all of that fellowship, the Holy Spirit spoke. And some of these more senior agents, if you will, more mature ones, they gave the conclusion. And after that, when this letter was passed out and brought to everywhere, Antioch and other places, it keeps saying, it seems good to us and to the Holy Spirit. There's such an assurance that the Spirit was the one presiding in that conference in Acts 15. Well, brothers, I digress, okay? We do have that certain order in the body, but all the brothers have to be what? Have to be active in the eldership to consider things together and to bring their strength, to bring their viewpoint, and then we have a balanced situation. A lot of problems can come out of a shortage in, you know, in this way. Okay. All right, let's go on to Romans 2. Here we touch one goal and three areas of service. What is the one goal? Okay. Why don't you read the one goal? Number one. Can you read, please?
Regardless of where the church appears on this earth, it has only one goal, to be a testimony of Christ and to express Christ among humanity.
Am I right, Jacob? Last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, that was the main point. All the tribes, according to their father's household, according to their standards, according to their ancients, they were arrayed according to Jehovah's instruction around what? Around the goal and center of the Israel's life in the wilderness, and that is the testimony of the tabernacle, in which is the ark of the testimony. That's the center. We, brothers and sisters, are in the church life for nothing but for the testimony of God. Amen. We're here in every locality not to be a denomination, not to play church, not just even to have a good church life. We're in every locality there, standing there for the testimony of Jesus. Amen. The testimony is at stake. We're at war for this testimony. We're fighting to protect this testimony. This testimony, which is Christ, the testimony of God is Christ, and the testimony of Christ is the church. And this great testimony or mystery of Christ and the church is what we are here taking care of. All right? And so don't forget, that's the goal. That's the goal. All right, 2. Can you read? The reason God has established churches in by the saints in these localities. This is the goal of the church, and also the goal of the elders' administration. Okay, it should be clear that Christ expressed, in other words, 1 Timothy 3, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifested in the flesh. That is the house of the living God. That is the church. So what are we doing in our various localities? The single goal is what? Is that manifestation of God would be present on the earth, in that part of the earth. And therefore, the very goal of the elders' administration is for that. We have no other goal but for that testimony to be maintained and even to prevail and grow. All right? When we come together, when we pray, we must think testimony. The testimony in this city. All the service, everything is for that testimony. Okay, 3. Please read. The elders must realize that our meeting here does not represent any particular truth or any Christianity movement, but to recover the testimony of the church on earth so that the Son of God, our glorious Christ, will be expressed. That is it. This is it. There would be more Christ in a city, in a town, by what? The testimony of the saints. This is the one goal. We have no other goal but the testimony of God. Amen. Okay, now, we come to 3 areas of service, 3 primary areas of services. There are many areas, but there are these 3 main areas. Number 1, the zealous preaching of the gospel. The gospel, brothers, is the first area of service, not cleaning the meeting hall. It must be the gospel. I'm very burdened about this. I feel for the Lord to have a new move in the Bay Area, this we have to really recover or pay attention to, the gospel. This, of course, includes the propagation of the truth, right? The preaching of the high gospel. Anyway, the zealous preaching of the gospel is the first area of service, of our war, of our fight, is to preach the gospel. It is a war. To what? To bind the strong man and gain the vessels back for God's house. Am I right? It is a war. I mean, we have to pray for the full-timers. Every day they're in battle. And all of us who are engaged in, right, you in San Luis Obispo, in Cal Poly there, to even gain one person is a war. To bring them to the Lord and then bring them to know the truth and then to bring them into the church life, I tell you, it is a war. I'm so happy that they sent 6 to the Champaign training. Am I right? 3. Okay, 3. But all told, you have a number that went, right? To the college training in San Luis Obispo. I tell you, they are there, over there, pretty alone, as a military outpost by the sea there. 4, he said, 4. And I tell you, wherever we are in a fight. If you don't have this spirit, you cannot preach the gospel. People just don't walk in. They must be gained. They must be prayed over. And we need to spend much time. My goodness. But brothers, it's time. You know, gospel is firstly a matter, listen to me, of endurance. Not so-called power, you know, miracle. No, I tell you, real gospel work, the first order is endurance and patience. And so you have to be tough to not give up, not give in, not be overcome by frustration and difficulty to really preach the gospel. And the people you gain that way are solid. Are solid. And because we don't have that mind, we give up. Once we preach, they reject. Oh, forget about it. The Spirit is not preaching the gospel today. Or whatever. Well, brothers, wrong. I tell you, I like to see in the Bay Area, all the churches become zealous for the gospel. And don't think Americans don't need the gospel. And don't think Americans are not open to the gospel. And don't think Bay Area residents reject the gospel. I don't think so. I don't think so. Amen?
Amen.
We need to recover this. The gospel. Oh, brothers, you know, last that's why I was so excited down two weekends ago. I just feel the army is being formed. And it's time to blow that trumpet. It's time to take down the tabernacle. It's time to say, let God arise.
Amen.
There should not be just 2,700 saints here on Lord's Day. There should be 5,000 saints here. Am I right? And I told them, the saints, it's easy. Even if only half of the saints, one-third of the saints gain one person every 2 years, will reach the goal. But we have not done it. We have not been single-hearted in the matter of outreach. I would say the churches are rising up. Amen?
Amen.
Look, the world is on fire, brothers. The world is burning down. That is a setup for the Antichrist in Europe. I'm actually very burdened for the recovery of the testimony in Germany. which was single-handedly destroyed by one person overnight. It's time to avenge that, that work of the enemy. In Europe, you cannot just have England as a center. Continental Europe must have a center, a bulwark. And that has to be the country of Germany. Not France, but Germany. Okay, I got off again. It's because I've been thinking about that more than this message, maybe. Okay. If the testimony of the church is to be strengthened and built up, there must be the preaching of the gospel to bring in new souls. In the service of the gospel, the church must be zealous, powerful, and effective. It's time. It's time. The churches in the Bay Area, with zealous, powerful, and effective gospel in the campuses, even in the high schools, and in the workplace, and in the community, with all languages, all ethnicities, and all ages, we are ready to roll, brothers. Amen?
Amen.
You're still saying we're not ready? At a certain time, you have to say, we're ready. Okay? All right, two, the perfecting of the saints. That's the second major area of service in the church, led by the elders. A, when people are saved and are brought into the church, then they must begin to be perfected right away. Right away, once they're saved. Even there's some who are brought into the church life. They may even be Christians, whatever. Right away, the next thing is to perfect them, which includes shepherding, which includes teaching, and many, many ways to perfect them. And we'll get into that later on. It includes such things as helping them to love the Lord, to deal with their past, to consecrate themselves before the Lord, to learn to study the Bible, to pray, to contact the Lord, and to pursue in life. That's what we do. The church life should be all the time primarily engaged in this kind of work. Every meeting of the church should be a perfecting meeting to some new ones. Not just a time for you and I to do the same old routine thing. To maintain a meeting. No, every meeting there should be some new ones there learning something, being perfected, and individually being perfected and collectively being perfected in all these things, these so-called new believers' things. Three, the third thing, the practical service in the church. This means many practical areas, Levitical things. All right, we have to lead these saved and perfected ones into the church and have them serve in a practical way. The sooner a new one enter into some practical service, the sooner they will have a sense of ownership. They will have a sense of belonging, that this is their church. This is their family. The service, serving the Lord, have a way of keeping us in the Lord. Serving the church have a way of preserving us in the church life. It's those who don't engage in the service, they will keep sitting in the back row. Do you see what I'm saying? Actually, coming to the meetings is a service. Even Christianity calls it the Christian service. And that is somewhat correct. Our meeting is a form of serving the Lord in worship to Him. All right? The prayer meeting for sure. The prophesying meeting, for sure. To serve the saints, to minister Christ to the saints. All right, so these are the three main areas. Let's recite them. What are they? Number one, the zealous preaching of the gospel. Number two, the perfecting of the believers. Number three, the practical services. And there's so many services. There should be so many playgrounds, so many jobs, so many positions, quote, for every member of the body, whoever they are, male, female, mature, immature. There is a, in the church of Jesus, there is a place for you. And it is our job to open those places, to create those places where they can play, where they can serve, where they can breathe that breath of service that every believer needs to do or wants to do. Okay. Four, when these three items are added together, there is the building of the church. Now you see, when all this is happening, the saints are active, they are serving, they're growing, people are getting saved. That church is being built up. When there's nothing happening, every week I see you again in the same seat. Same seat. No one dare to sit there because everyone knows that's your seat. That's the elder seat, or that elder seat. And every week I look at you, you look at me, give the announcement, sign the checks. I tell you, that is the church not being built up. It is just existing. No, we need to turn things around, brothers. And you and I will do it together. Amen?
Amen.
Will we do it?
Amen.
We must turn things around.
Amen.
We cannot leave the things the way they have been. All right. Okay, all the elders' administration and oversight of the church revolve around this one goal and three areas of the service. These four things put together. This is the sphere of the elders' administration. No wonder. The elders are the busiest bunch of people. And when I find a not busy elder, I put a question mark whether he's an elder. I mean a true elder. Really. And I don't mean busy running around doing nothing. You know what I mean. Busy enterprising these things. Busy activating these things. Busy leading in these things. That is a real true elder. All right? Okay, now we come to number three, okay? The coordination in service. A, the oversight and administration of the elders are nothing other than the gospel perfecting and service. We cover that. B, as to service, it must be done in coordination. So this is a word of reminder. Yes, this is our service. Yes, we're clear. But never forget to build up this service, to build up the church in this way, we must carry this out in coordination, in fellowship, in the way of blending as an eldership and not as an individual. Very, very important. Don't rely on just yourself. Rely on the ship, the fellowship, to operate this. Okay? We have to realize that if the Lord is to gain the goal in the church in this age, the saints must be built up together. This building up is the coordination. Not only you and I as the leading brothers have to be built up, eventually we have to help all the saints who are entering into these services to do it in a built-up way. We have many hymns, actually, we did not sing in that section. All very much on the building. The way of the service is the building, serving in the body. That was a repeated refrain of our brother Lee in those years. This is in the 50s and in the 60s, right? In a built-up way, not a pile of stones. Yes, we're all living stones coming to the living stone, but immediately it says what? We are a holy priesthood, being built up to offer up the spiritual sacrifices. That means we are not piled together, we are coordinated and built up together. That word priesthood there refers to the priestly body. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. Not the priestly office, but the priestly body. The emphasis is on the building, the coordination of the priests serving together. D, the gospel brings in the saved sinners. When a person is saved, he needs to be perfected. After being perfected, he needs to serve in coordination. The coordination in service is the building up of the church. We will cover even more later on. Now, this Roman 4 begins a long point that covers the next two messages. The next two messages are all under Roman 4. What is it? Let's read. The aspects of coordination. So we who are many are one body in Christ. So, Brother Lee used the word, the aspects of this coordination. How do we bring people into this, ultimately, into this coordination to function as members with the other members to build up the body of Christ in a locality? All right? There's actually, I did not count, actually it's from A to P. A to P. And what we have here in the rest of this outline is only A and B. But let's quickly cover that so we can have the break. Number one, now you have to really remember this A through P every point. And I would charge you to get into each of these points because they are quite fine and it checks perfectly with our experience. All right, every point. And so Brother Lee, you know, Brother Lee is not a theorist. Brother Lee is... He is a revelator. He is a revelator. But he's not a theorist. Do you follow? Do you see the difference? He's a visionary. But he's not an idealist. Brother Lee is very pragmatic, very practical. Yet the visions is sky high. We ought to be the same. So all these fellowships are not based on just some theory. It's based on his own experience in administrating churches in, firstly, in northern China, then in southern China, or rather Shanghai, and finally in Taiwan. All the learnings are given here, so we ought to pay attention to them. Okay, it's already 10:30. Let me at least cover some of this, and we will have the break. Number one. Having life. The elders have to consider seriously everyone who wants to come into the coordination to see if each one has life. In order to administrate the church, you must take life as the foundation. Now, I really would say, I would give this assignment to you all because I don't have the time to get into all of this. Obviously, to bring someone to serve God in this coordination, he has to be a safe person. Am I right? He has to be regenerated. We cannot just get someone from the street to come in. We may hire some unbelievers to paint the building, but that is not this service that he's entering into. We're talking about this holy spiritual service to build up the body of Christ in coordination, and everyone who participates in that must be saved. So we need to save more people. Amen. So that there can be more priests to serve. Amen. You have to be a child of God. You have to be a member of the body in order to have a share in this service. And actually, there's a difference. There's some who are, what is the word? Saved but not regenerated. In other words, they sort of got saved in the head. They really did not have that full revival of their spirit, the whole enlivening of their spirit. And so, in a way, they're saved, but actually they are not. They don't have life yet. So even with these ones, and we meet, quote-unquote, Christians like this, and many times we have to go and save Christians. You know that? You understand what I mean. To pump life into them, to regenerate them, to cause them to know life for the first time in their spirit. So this is the first thing. We have to make sure everyone who is part of this would have life. And the second one is that they would be living. Now let's just read it, and I think that is good. Okay? It is one thing to have life. It is another thing to be living. Experience tells us that many who have life do not appear to be living. That means you are kind of have all tubes all in you, and you're in a ventilator and with a oxygen mask. You have life. I give that to you. But you are not living. The first work, brothers, is to make the saints living. Make all the saints living. All right? This is our job. Okay? To have life is the same as Christianity called to be saved, and to be living is equivalent to what Christianity calls being revived. And that's why we need revival, morning revival, daily revival. We need the revival. That means everyone becomes alive, living, not dead believers. Three, the elders have to work with those who are not living. They have to enliven them. That's our job. All those who are not living need you to work on them. Sometimes you have to fellowship with the brothers and sisters directly to touch their real inward situation. After you have touched their real condition, you can classify them. The living ones will belong to one category, the dead ones another category, those who are half dead, my, this is Brother Lee's words, not very nice, half dead or half, let's say half life, are also put into a third category. After the classification, we should not work with the dead ones or the living one first. Instead, we should work with the ones who are about to come alive. Now, this is his learning, his brother Lee's learning. There's a much to learn. You may even have your small group. You're just overseeing a small group or a small district or a small church. Even in that small situation, you will find some who are alive, some who are, sorry to say, dead, some who are halfway. And even those who are halfway have gradations to them, you see. I don't mean you go around with a clipboard, but brothers, inwardly you should have that kind of discernment, watchfulness, and observation. I do this, not only in the church, but even in the work. Who is alive? Who is coming alive? And the first one I would work, those who are alive are okay. But those who are coming alive, I tell you, they are the ones I need to work on. Because they are at the brink. They just need to get through with this one lesson. They just need to consecrate themselves. They just need to be breakthrough in this area of reservation in their life. Or they just need that problem solved in their human living. Then they can really function in a very living way. So all this are in the excerpts. You can read it, okay? All right, let me just finish. Although everyone has life, the big question is whether or not they are living. The dormant ones are, of course, not living. But even many of the ones who are able to come to the meetings are not living. They come to the meetings, but they're not living. Am I right? They sit in the back row or they just come once a week. Our job is to help them to become living. That's why we need visitation, brothers. That's why we need to contact the saints to help them in a thorough way, in an enduring way with much patience to come alive. And everyone who comes alive will bring someone else alive. The whole breakout of 1943 Chi Fu revival is out of what? Just a few. And then it grew to 40, 50, coming alive. And then the revival broke out. The church life is working on people, brothers, not doing jobs and projects. It's all about working on people. We must be people-centered. Okay. Everywhere I turn now, churches are buying meeting halls. I don't mean just here, I mean many places. That really convinced me the recovery actually have pretty deep pockets, you know. Well, what's my point? Well, it's good to have meeting halls. I'm for meeting hall. But I tell you, you cannot keep building meeting halls. You know, after you build one, that's pretty good enough. You need to fill them. We have these big meeting halls with two rows. I'd rather sell that meeting hall and rent a little storefront and plow all my money to raise up full-timers and get more people saved, and then I'll build a meeting hall. Rather than build a big meeting hall and all two rows of us have to day and night spend the time to maintain that hall, no time to preach the gospel, no time to make people alive, no time to visit the saints, no time to do anything. That's our church. This is the church, local church in XYZ, with a beautiful meeting hall. All of us busy serving to maintain that hall. No increase. No growth. Brothers, it's to make people come alive.
Amen.
All right, let's just finish this. Okay. How much work there is involved to cause these brothers and sisters to come alive? Exclamation point. That's all I need to say. Please go and read it. How much work that it's involved, even with one person. If you can weep for 3 days and three nights and then work for 3 days to bring a person to salvation, even if this is artificial, it is still the right thing to do. When God works, he needs man's cooperation. We have seen everywhere that those who are greatly used by the Lord are all diligent. God works requires man's cooperation.
Amen.
Brothers, let us not be that spiritual. Let us rather be diligent to revive the people. There are many brothers and sisters who do not attend the meetings regularly, and even those who come, less than half are alive. This is one chief work within the elders' administration. You should find it unbearable to see so many brothers and sisters there not being living. Yet you are still serving as an elder in peace. You must have a burden within to beseech the Lord and to find a way. My, even one saint is dead or not alive, it burdens you. Oh, you pray for him. You visit him. You help him solve certain problems. You help him to come alive. This is our job, brothers and sisters. Brothers, okay? All right, it is now 10:40. Let's break until 10 after.